Good morning. Oops, did I turn it? Yeah, I did. Good morning. Yeah, I hope you can hear me. Turn me up a little bit there, Kelly. I can't even hear myself.
Yeah.
Not that I want to.
Yeah.
Good morning. How has your week been?
Great.
You know, we just sang about Word of God speak, and that's really what we want to see happen today. We want to see God's Word speak, and the message this morning is a continuation of last week's message. We're in a series, but let me kind of catch us up real quick, and let me tell you something that happened last week right after I preached in the first morning service. After I preached in the first service, a gentleman came up who'd come to church for about the last month. He'd been invited by somebody who had just been baptized this last January, sort of somebody who's new to the church. And he came up, and right after this service, he looks at me and he goes, "Did you get my text?" That's the word of the day, isn't it? And I said, I don't look at texts in the morning when I'm preaching. I'm sorry. What did you? He goes, "I'm ready." I'm like, awesome, wonderful. And so he and I and the gentleman who got baptized last January got together on Monday. And he and I had gotten together earlier, a couple weeks earlier, and we went through the gospel and we talked about grace. And grace just blew him out of the water. He'd never heard of that concept. He'd never heard that you can be forgiven, that you can be washed clean, new slate. And he was just so excited. And I told him, he was pretty excited at the time. I said, "You go home and you think about this, and you tell me when you're ready." And so that's when he came back and said he was ready. And then later on this week, I got a phone call from somebody, I'm not going to give too many details, but somebody who I'm acquainted with, who said that his mother's in the hospital. And so I went up to the hospital, and the mother was just going in to get some sort of a testing happening. And her husband, who I've been praying for and talking to for years, literally years, never seeing so much going on, but just praying and hoping, because he's a really tough gentleman, really tough gentleman. And he says, "Let's go out and talk." And he had called me a couple days earlier, and I'd missed it, and I tried calling him, and I didn't know why he was calling me. And all of a sudden, he just started talking. He goes, "Ken, I'm there." And I'm like, "Where are you there? What's that mean?" And he went on to explain that he's ready, and now he has just received Christ too. And I say those things to encourage you that God, what I mentioned last week, God is at work. He is at work. And really, mostly what it considers is mostly it's our prayers and it's the Holy Spirit working. But this morning, I want to make an assumption. I want to make an assumption that everyone in this room has a dear loved one who doesn't know the Lord yet, that you've been praying for and concerned about and care for. Is that probably true? And so even as we move forward, let's just take a moment and pray. But my goal today is to talk about what it means to sort of be the person that God will, that put ourselves in the situation so that we're actually the kind of people that God will send people to, that will recognize that, and that will see God at work. Let's take a minute and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you're doing. You're an amazing God. You have on your heart the souls of the people that you are calling. Lord, I pray that you would put on our hearts those people also. And I pray that you would prepare us in such a way to use us for your glory. So this morning, as we continue down this road, I pray that you would challenge each one of us to take one or two steps closer to being that person and available. We ask it in your name. Amen. So last week, I got to catch us up real quick. Last week, we were talking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was stationed near Samaria. They were surrounded by an enemy of God, an enemy, Ben-Hadad, the Arameans. And they were being besieged. And so by being surrounded by an enemy inside the kingdom of Israel, it was drastic and terrible. You guys remember the story? And so even a head of a donkey was going for 80 shekels of silver. And women were actually fighting over the fact that, hey, wait a minute, and this is, you know, yesterday we ate my child, today, tomorrow it's your turn. That's how desperate it was. So if you missed the story, it's in 2 Kings chapter 7. And so there are four lepers, people with leprosy at the gate, and they basically say, we're going to die, we're going to die. They're already outcasts, we're going to die. And they're like, well, why not do something absolutely insane? Let's go over to the enemy's camp and see if they'll have mercy on us. Because if we stay here, we're going to die. And they go over to the camp, and what happens? You guys remember? The camp had been scattered by God. That the Egyptians and the Hittites, that's what the people of the camp had sort of presumed, that they were coming to attack, and they had left everything and ran. Everything and ran. It says their horses were still there. And so these four men with leprosy, they walk into a tent. And here is food, here is clothing, here is gold. And their first, what are the first thing they do? They hoard it, right? They go and bury it or hide it somewhere. Then they go into a second tent, and they do the same thing. Finally, something in their heart changes, and they say this. They say, then they said to each other, what we are doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So something in their heart says, this is not right. It's time to change our course of action. And really, the same thing happens to us today. Those who have good news have a choice. Those who have good news have a choice. And I'm taking it that there is not anybody in this room who wants to be a hoarder. And my assumption earlier is that everyone in this room knows somebody who needs the Lord. Amen? So what I'm going to try to accomplish, knowing that it's God who changes hearts, absolutely. But you'll see on your bulletin, six B's. And maybe you could just fill this in and just pray about it. Just think about it this week. Six B's, six things to think about incorporating into your life to be more available to be used by God. Let's go through these. The first one, well, first of all, this kind of goes into the question that we mentioned last week. How can we live in such a way that others want to ask us, what's so different about you? Have you had that happen lately? They aren't necessarily going to walk up and ask that question, but they're going to follow you and say, hey, let's do lunch. Let's do something, because they see a difference in you. That's my goal today, is to talk about that. What I'm not talking about is door-to-door salesmen, evangelism even. There are people who are saved that way. Dwight Moody was saved that way, I believe. But I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a camp that might say, hey, it's all God's work, I'm just going to sit back. I'm not talking about the social gospel, where we reach out a loving hand with a cup of water, but we forget to say those words, the gospel, the story of Jesus Christ and his saving grace. I'm not talking about people who just say, I don't really care. I hope nobody's in that camp. I'm talking about when you and I, when you are with me, in other words, sort of a camp, let's go here. First one is so simple, but it's more profound than you might take it at first glance. Be who you are. Let's talk about this for a minute. I'm going to go about it in a roundabout way. Be who you are. Okay. This is an Indian motorcycle. It's the one I dream of someday, but since I haven't won the lottery, since I haven't played the lottery. But there is something about motorcycling. That is amazing. I mean, I can be cruising down the road. It's not like a TV screen to me. You get the smells. I can hear chipmunks. The other day after church service, I went out and because I just had to clear my head, and I went on a road called Pleasant Valley Road over in Hartwick. And I'm cruising down the road, and there's these turkey vultures sitting in the trees, which is interesting, and there's deer, and then I look over, and here's on a side hill is a herd of buffalo. And I'm just like, wow. And it's just my way of just whoosh, clearing out everything. The reason I mention it is if you're around me very much, by nature, you're going to hear something about this probably. It's nothing I'm embarrassed about. You see, you have motorcycles, not for me. I'm not going to try to convince you to ride motorcycles. But if you are around me very much, you're probably going to hear something along the way. Now let's go to something deeper. That is a passion. But who I really am? I'm a child of the King. I've been born again. I've been washed clean by his blood. I've been adopted in his family. I'm in the process of sanctification, being changed day by day. I've been justified just as if I've never sinned. And I've experienced forgiveness. That's who I really am. Why am I not able to allow others to see that in everyday life? Do you see what I'm saying? There's sort of a profoundness about this. It's almost as if the world said, oh, you can't talk about that. No. It should be the first thing on our lips. When you're around me long enough, you should be able to just sort of, it just comes in natural play. This is who I am. Why would I hide that? An example from the New Testament, Peter and John. Just after Jesus dies, Peter and John are in front of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they're grilling them. And they're basically saying to Peter and John, stop talking about that name. What does Peter and John say? Here's what they say. Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. Ask for us. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. People of God, just be who you are. I'm not saying be obnoxious. Didn't hear that, did you? But be who you are. I was talking with someone just about yesterday about a book, and it was kind of eye-opening to that person. I don't have permission to say their name, but it was eye-opening. It was just like, you know, what's wrong with, as you're biking down the road or you're walking with someone and you say, man, I read the most amazing verse in Scripture this morning. Can I tell you about it? Or what's wrong with saying, I'm having a really terrible day. Do you have any prayer requests? Because I'm going to pray right now. Do you have any prayer requests? What is wrong with being who you are? Something to think about. That's the first one. Second one. Be who you are. Second one is interesting. I don't know about the terminology, but I'm going to use it. Be extravagant. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word extravagant. Not just talking about finances here. Be extravagant. Let me ask you a question. Is the gospel of the salvation, the saving power of Jesus Christ extravagant, or is it chintzy? Which one? It's extravagant. I mean, God sends his one and only Son. Jesus leaves the glory of heaven, comes down. Look at these words in Ephesians 1. I made them too small, I can't read them. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Cheap? No. goes on, like the rest, we are by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show us the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Another part of the scripture says he lavishes on us his grace and mercy. It's like a cake. And then there's this layer of frosting. Lavishes. And here's my point. Sometimes as Christians, I think we also, there are some amazing, wonderful verses about being careful with your money. And in a busy world, we are careful with our time. But God sometimes challenges us to go the extra mile and to be extravagant with our time. You know, somebody who has an issue, and I have something else I need to do, but I'm going to give them my time, even though it's very valuable at the moment. What's the challenge from Matthew? Here's a challenge. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you in the right cheek, turn to them also the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with them. Give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. God is saying, you know, live in such a way that go the extra mile so that they see a difference. It's not easy. I'm not talking about anything that's easy here. But if you want to be noticed, go the extra mile to help others. Number three, kind of goes along with this in a different way. Be secure. The opposite of secure is what? Insecure. Is there anybody insecure here? Raise your hand. You're not going to raise your hand if you're... And if you don't think you're an insecure person, I'm going to randomly pick someone here and they're going to sing a solo right now. Anybody feeling it? See, the difference between being a secure person and an insecure person is this. An insecure person walks into a room, they wonder what they're wearing, they wonder if they fit in, they wonder, it happens with junior high and all the way up, and we usually don't leave it too easily. But a secure person, in the way that we're talking about, is able to see others. Insecure person looks at themselves, a secure person looks and is able to notice those around. Let me give you an example, the best example I can think of. Jesus, pretty secure person. Scripture talks about his security, not caring about, you know, not knowing the hearts of man and still moving forward. Jesus is walking into the town of Jericho. Crowds all around him, pushing in. And what does he do? He notices this little guy up in a tree, the chief tax collector. You and I might have just walked on through. Oh, wait, is everybody, Jesus notices this guy, says, Zacchaeus, hey, Zacchaeus, who's basically somebody who everybody hates. Zacchaeus, come on down. I need to stay at your house today. I need to eat at your house today. Zacchaeus is overwhelmed. Things kind of progress. Zacchaeus basically says, hey, if I have, I'm going to give away half of what I own, and if I've cheated anybody, I'll give them 4 times back. What else happens? It goes on and says this. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. In other words, he has potential to know God also. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. My question to you is, do you notice the lost? Do you notice those in need? I'm going to be honest. Typical day, I'm pretty busy. And typical day, it's about me and my schedule. In a typical day, I walk past a lot of different people who probably have great needs. And I'm missing that. How about you? How secure are you? Do you notice the people around you? And do you engage them? Care for them? Reach out a loving hand? It's challenging. Challenging for me also. Number four, be faithful. If there's one thing in this world right now that's, it is changing by the moment, isn't it? And so you see these kids, well, I don't do email anymore. I only do Facebook. No, I don't do Facebook anymore. I do Instagram. No, I don't do Instagram. No, that's our world right now, isn't it? And there are very few people who are faithful to finish what they started. So faithful, Jesus, when he had received the drink, he said, it is finished. He finished. He went on to finish the task at hand. The Apostle Paul, and now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing. To me, my only aim is to finish the race and complete the task. There it is. That the Lord Jesus Christ has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Are you a faithful person by nature? Are you in the race and are you continuing that? And are you living it in the day-to-day lives? Faithfulness in your marriage. I mean, one of the things that's amazing nowadays, how many people do you know in church here? Yes, I've been married for 30 years. I've been married for 50 years. But in the world, not necessarily so. Or how about when your boss says, I got a challenge for you. It's going to mean that you're going to work overtime tonight. Absolutely, I can do it. In fact, I'm going to accomplish it, and then I'm going to email you to your boss because I want you to have a good weekend this weekend, and I want you to know that it's done. Those are the attitudes that change people's lives. Those are the people that they see you and they say, there's something different about that person. Faithfulness. Part of being faithful is, yeah, I go to church. I go to church weekly. I'm faithful to that. I'm a part of a body of believers. Faithfulness. And when you say you're going to do something, do it. Finish it out. Next, number five. Be who you are, be extravagant, be secure, be faithful, be confident. But not in yourself. Be confident in the Lord. What does it say in 1 Peter 3:15? But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. In other words, in your hearts put him first in all things that you do. How does this verse finish? Anybody know? What does confidence in the Lord allow you to be able to do? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. See, there's a confidence in the Lord that allows me to know when the opportunity exists to share God's love and news through the gospel. And so confidence is to be able to say, I can put it out there on the table. Let me give you an example that you might have heard in his testimony 6 months ago. When Ron Luker had cancer, which he had for 4 years, the doctor came to him and said, I have some really, really, really tough news. And Ron was able to say, it's okay. My confidence is in the Lord. He was actually able to witness in that time to someone around him because he had the confidence placed in the right person. We heard a little bit of that this morning too with Stan. And also in this world is kind of spinning out of control sometimes, isn't it? What would happen if all of a sudden the stock market fell completely? You lost everything. Would you run around and, or would you be able to say, hey, the Lord's still in control? Would you be able to share that with others? Lastly, be available. Be available. In a world we are so busy, be available. Be available to listen to God for those divine appointments. How many times do you say this a day? I pray you wake up and say, here I am, Lord. Anybody do that this morning? Here I am, Lord. And you look for those divine appointments. You're actively saying, I am available. I will stop what I need to be doing today. If you send somebody my way, just give me the words and the ability. Let me give you an example from Scripture, which incorporates all of these. Who's Philip? Who's Philip? The evangelist, they call him Philip. Is he one of the disciples? No. Who is he? Acts chapter 6. Who is he? Somebody tell me. He's one of the first deacons, basically. He and Stephen and five others are picked to watch out for the widows of the church. After Stephen dies as a martyr, everybody scatters. Philip one day is just kind of hanging out. Look at how crazy this sounds. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south on the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. I've been on that road. There's nothing on that road. It's desert. Hey, Philip, go down to the desert today. How many of you guys? I'd be like, I think I heard that one wrong. That impression, right? So he started out and on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of the Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was on his way home, sitting on his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. You ever just go sort of hang out near somebody? At the water, you know, whatever, fountain at work? Or a meeting or something? But what if God, I'm not going to say, you know, but what if God is sort of having some of those divine encounter appointments for you? Would you be able to even sort of trust that he's going to use you in those situations? So he does. He finishes. He does that. Then Philip ran. I love that word. He ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, and he asks him, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So God had already worked, and the Holy Spirit is working. And so he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. This was the passage of Scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led to the, like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from him? Speaking of Jesus, an Old Testament passage in Isaiah. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. He took hold of the opportunity. He stepped into it. Let's talk about this for a minute here. His eyes were open and his heart was listening to God and the Holy Spirit. In other words, he was available. Are you available? Some of you guys are so busy. I'm asking you, are you available? If God said, I know your schedule today, but I want to change it, what would you tell him back? Okay? I hope and pray, right? He was willing to let God interrupt his life, and so it says he started out. So he was extravagant with his time, and he was just saying, that's the most important thing. He saw the opportunity and engaged the Ethiopian graciously. Do you understand what you're reading? He was secure enough in himself to sort of see around him, see what was happening. He was secure enough to be able to walk up to this person. He was faithful to continue what God had challenged him to do. He knew that the good news of the gospel well enough, which is another important aspect which we'll talk about next week. And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So he was able to be who he was, and he was confident enough to be able to give the Lord the credit and speak the gospel. My question is, how about you? Do you want to live in a way that gives honor and glory and opportunities? Which one of these do you struggle with the most? Let me ask you that. Is it hard for you to be who you really are? Is that hard for you sometimes? It is for me. How about to be extravagant? Do you have a tendency to kind of want to hold your time and just do, it's yours? How about, are you secure enough to notice those around you? Or by nature, are you just kind of going about your day missing them? Are you faithful to finish what you started in each case, in life, in general? Is that a typical of you, or do you have a tendency to kind of change courses all the time? Are you confident in the Lord so that you can speak truth when it's appropriate? And are you available? Anybody know the church history about the Ethiopian eunuch? Church history would say that he went down then to Ethiopia, and the church in Ethiopia would say he is one of the key planting seeds for the gospel to change the country of Ethiopia. I would love to see all of us in a situation. And again, let's wrap this up by saying this. These are just some thoughts to challenge you. It's the Holy Spirit that works upon the hearts. But are you available? And are you confident enough in the Lord? And are you able to just represent him without fear? There might be some fear in there, but still trusting him. And do you even notice those that he puts in your path? It's a challenge to all of us, isn't it? Let's pray.